In Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. Matthew 8, beginning at verse 5. Says in verse 5, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion," that's a soldier, a military man, "beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion soldier answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you would come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. I say to this man, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant or my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard that, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion soldier, Go your way. As you have believed, so it be done unto you. And his servant, or slave, was healed in the very same hour." Lord, I respect your word, and I thank you for your word, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us as we think about this glorious, wonderful story this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this verse that we read, verse 5, says this man was a centurion soldier. That would have meant that he was a Roman soldier in charge of 100 men. He had 100 men under him. That's why they called him a centurion. Now, several times in the Bible, centurions are mentioned. Soldiers, centurion soldiers. For example, and I'll give you this, you might want to jot it down. In Matthew 27 and verse 33, there was the centurion soldier who was standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus died there. And he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." It was a centurion soldier that acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God when he looked upon the cross at Calvary. In Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 1 and following, there was a centurion soldier named Cornelius. He was the first Gentile, that is, non-Jewish, man named in the Bible who became a follower of Christ. He was saved. He was born again. He became a Christian, and he was a centurion soldier. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 32, this is during the time of Paul the Apostle, and there was a crowd going to kill Paul and destroy him. They wanted to do away with that man's life. And there was a centurion soldier that rescued Paul from an angry mob. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 17, Paul was there, and there was a centurion soldier and 200 other soldiers who escorted Paul to Caesarea, when he was brought before Felix, the governor. In Acts chapter 27, verses 39 through 43, Paul and a group of prisoners were taken to Rome, and their ship was wrecked. The soldiers on board the ship didn't want them to escape, and so they desired to kill all of them so they could save their necks. There was a centurion soldier who convinced them to spare the life of the Apostle Paul. So you can see in these stories in the book of Acts that these centurions, not a centurion anywhere was spoken bad about in the New Testament. Now let's look at this centurion soldier on this Veterans Day this morning. First of all, you'll notice that in verse 6, it says that this soldier, this centurion soldier, came to Jesus, and he was concerned about his servant. Now you'll notice there in verse 6, "my servant." Now, a servant was a slave. This slave belonged to this centurion. In the Roman day in which this experience took place, slaves were as slaves many times and much in the world have been. They were like property. A slave, if you had a slave, it was like your cow, or your horse, or your mule, or your tractor, or your crop, whatever it might be. It was a property, and you owned your slave, and you told your slave what to do, and your slave did it. And of course, many of those who had slaves were bad people, merciless people, but slavery was common in that day. But you'll notice here he says, "Lord, my servant is homesick, grievously tormented." This same account is found over in the book of Luke. And Luke says, you know, that he was one who was much concerned about his slave. So here was a man, a soldier, who had a slave that he loved, had compassion on him, cared about him, was concerned that he was sick, and that says a great deal about this centurion soldier. Then you'll notice that this centurion soldier comes to Jesus. It says he came to Christ and said, "My servant is ill, and he needs your help." And Jesus said, "Well, okay, I will come to him. I will come to him." The soldier said, "I'm not worthy for you to come to me. I'll just come to you, and you speak the word, and my servant will be healed. I am not worthy." When I read that statement, I thought, and told Anna last night, I looked on the internet about that song. I bet somebody sang that song back in the 1950s in this church. "I am unworthy, the least of his favor, but Jesus left heaven for me." It was one of the most popular Christian songs back in the 50s. I'm sure somebody probably sang it. I listened tonight on the YouTube, and the White Sisters that were so popular back in those days were singing, "I am unworthy, I am unworthy, I am unworthy." I remember singing it myself. That's why that I love the song so much. It was a song that I sang quite often. "I am unworthy of the least of his favor, but Jesus left heaven for me." That's how I feel. That's how you feel. Most of us as Christians feel that way. Jesus has saved us, but we did not deserve to be saved. We were unworthy. And his love for us, he loved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I believe that's really the place that everybody needs to come to. The feeling that I am unworthy, I am lost, I'm on my way to hell. If I get what I deserve, I'll go to hell and burn for all eternity, and nothing about me is good. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen. You see, sometimes we have the idea that basically men are good, but the Bible says we all have sinned. And that word sin is a horrible, terrible, evil, wicked word. And we are all sinners, and we need to be saved. One of the fallacies of our generation, now, is trying to make everybody feel good, to make everybody feel that they are good. And as a result of this brainwashing through the television and through the radio and through the printed page and the media, social media and all of that, the brainwashing that is going on is that we're all basically good and we're all right, and that leads to the truth or the fallacy that we do not need God and we do not need to be saved. If the whole world is all right like it is, Jesus came into this world for nothing, died on the cross for nothing. But you see, we're taught, as this soldier, this centurion soldier knew, he said, I'm not worthy for you to even put your foot in my home. He says, you just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Oh, he had a respect for Jesus. I am unworthy. So this veteran gave honor to Jesus. But you'll notice that Jesus gave honor to this veteran. Notice there in that next verse, in verse 10, Jesus heard it and he marveled. Now, that may not seem much of a marvel to you, and you actually have to do some meditation on that to get to seeing what kind of a marvel that it was to Jesus. Not many times in the Bible does it say that anything impressed Jesus and he marveled at it. One time in Mark chapter 6 and verse 6, it says that Jesus marveled at the unbelief of the people. They should have been worshiping him, but they were not believing. So he marveled at their unbelief. And in this place, it says in verse 10, that when Jesus heard what this man said, he marveled at it. The faith of this veteran. True faith honors Christ, and Christ honors true faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. No matter what you try to do or I try to do, how much we make in this world, in our life, we must have faith. It's more important than anything else. And true faith is taking Jesus at his word. That's what this soldier did. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you step a foot in my house, but if you'll just speak the word, I have the faith that if you'll speak the word, my servant, my slave, my friend will be saved. This man had faith. He didn't doubt. And the Bible says that you and I must have faith and not doubt. Some of us, our greatest sin is doubting, not believing, and not trusting in the Lord. You'll notice in verses 10 and 11 and 12, I got to reading that and I thought, why in the world did Matthew record that? And why did Jesus say that? Because it doesn't seem to go with the rest of it. Look how weird it sounds. Here it is. Jesus heard the man. He marveled at his faith. And then he said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in all of Israel. Among all the Israelites, he said, I've been going everywhere up and down the roads, talking to folks, being in their towns and cities, doing all kinds of things. And I haven't found as much faith in all those Jewish people as I found in you, Gentile man. You see, in those days, the Jews, the good Jews, pretty well felt that all the Gentiles were lost. That all the Gentiles would end up in the bad place. That all the Gentiles were not worth anything. They didn't feel like that they deserved salvation. The Jews felt like salvation is for us. God loves us. We are God's chosen people. Everybody else is nothing. We're the only ones that really count. And as a matter of fact, that's about the way some folks in this church probably feel. In our denomination as Baptists, some may feel almost that way. Some people who say they don't feel that way, when you get right down to it and watch how they live and how they treat others of different races and cultures and nationalities, you get to feeling they pretty well feel the same way. All those folks over yonder, somewhere else, are not really worth saving. The Lord save America. God save America. We are His. And we look down at everybody else. And Jesus said to that man, I've not found so great faith in all of Israel. But look at verse 11. This is what seems so out of place, unless you really get to thinking about it. Jesus said, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In verse 12 he says, but the sons of the kingdom, the children of the kingdom, why, they're going to be cast out into outer darkness, where it's like it is in California. You see all those fires and all that smoke. That's the way Jesus described hell. The place, not the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of darkness. He described hell as a place where there is burning continuously, smoke and fire. He describes it in that particular way. And when I was watching that on the news channel yesterday for a long, long time, I thought, that's what hell is like. That's what hell is like. As a matter of fact, Jesus was teaching about hell and fire, and he was looking toward Jerusalem, and there was a place called the Valley of Hinnom. It was the garbage dump of Jerusalem. And they burned stuff there. They threw all kinds of refuse, all kind of trash and stuff in the Valley of Hinnom. And the fire went on and it never did go out. Day and night you'd smell it and see the smoke and everything else. And when Jesus spoke about hell, he pointed to that and said, that is the way that it's going to be in the afterlife if you're not saved. There's a place where people are going, and it's called hell. So when you watch those on television, and you see the fires in California, and you see all of that sort of thing, you think, that's the way it will be in hell for those who do not know Jesus as Savior, who not accepted Him as Savior, and it'll be like that forever and forever and forever. They were saying on the Weather Channel this morning, this is beginning the rainy season, and we got hopes that the rains will come and quench these fires out. But in hell, there's no hope that a rainy season is going to come. Jesus said it's going to be that way for at all eternity, never, ever stopping. And so what does Jesus mean when he says, the folks here, come to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven? He's talking about a great banquet there, messianic banquet. He says, but there'll be people among you, the Jews, who think you're so important in the sight of God because you've been chosen like that. He says the sons of the kingdom, the children of the kingdom, are going to be cast out into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. What Jesus was saying was, I think, to those people, you all feel like you're the only ones worthy of God's love, but I'm going to tell you that some of you all who feel that way are going to end up in a place with gnashing of teeth. And some of those folks who are Gentiles, like this centurion soldier, they're going to end up in the kingdom of God. in the kingdom of heaven. I was thinking about that. I was listening to one of the old sermons of Billy Graham the other evening, and I've heard it so many times I can almost quote the whole thing, but he's always saying, Christ is not just for America. Christ is for the whole world. Can't you hear him saying that? Christ is for the whole world. Every nation needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And I thought it so good that Matt, who was our evangelist for our revival, stood right up here. You may have caught it. I surely did. That day that he preached on Psalm 46, boy, that was a great sermon, wasn't it? And it was in Psalm 46, and I looked at that this morning, and I thought about Matt preaching that sermon. Psalm 46 and verse 10 is the message he gave. And 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Do you remember what Matt said about that verse? He said, we all like the first part, be still and know that I am God. And that's a good thing to do, be still and know that He is God. But he says, sometimes we ignore the second part of that, which says, without a doubt, God is saying, I will be exalted among the nations. He doesn't say, maybe I'll be exalted among the nations. I hope I'll be exalted among the nations. If you think I will, I will. God said with deliberate statement, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And Matt said that verse, we need to put it in our minds. It's not a maybe. It's not a hope for. It's not a pray for. God says, I will be exalted. And what God says will take place. He will be. I love that verse, where Paul says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I had a funeral service Friday for one of my very, very dear friends. The Latimer Funeral Home was packed full of folks. And I looked out over that great crowd of men and women and young people. And as I talked about Bill Lamb and I talked about all that he meant to all of us and the 80 years of life that he lived, he was fixing his deer stand last week with one of the guys from the hospital who knows how to save people's lives, and they were in the deer stand and he just fell over dead. And his good friend couldn't save him. He tried, but he couldn't save him. Wasn't a thing he could do. He was gone. And I said to that crowd the other Friday morning, or Friday afternoon as I talked to them, I said, you know, Bill was a good man. We all loved him. He was highly respected on his job and the school system and everything else there. But I said, his goodness has not gotten him to heaven. And we all were thinking, well, surely he is in heaven. And I believe that he is. That he was a Christian, that he was saved, that he was born again, that he knew the Lord. But you see, all the good things that we said, and I had the people there to say things, and they just kept saying things about him. He was good, and he was faithful, and he was noble, and he was trustworthy, and he was dependable, and he was a person that everybody liked, it seemed. But I said, his good works are not what saved him. His faith in Christ Jesus, the only thing that would save any person. And I would say that to all of us here today. Have you believed in Christ? Are you like that veteran man? He said, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. I am lost and undone without God. Do you feel that way? If you do, and you're lost and recognize it, then realize that Jesus is the only way, and you must have the faith that Jesus can save you. No one's ever been saved without faith. By faith, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I was telling them Friday. That whole crowd of people, I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And that's what the Lord is saying to us today. This morning, if you're not a Christian, if you've never believed in Christ, I'm just trusting that you will be. That you'll recognize, like this veteran, that you're unworthy, that you're lost, and that you can be saved, and you believe that Christ will save you if you will just speak the word. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning and for this story about this veteran who was a person of faith and who saw you work in his life, and he marveled at the faith. Now, Lord, I pray for all of us here. There may be someone, maybe several here today who, if I was preaching their sermon, I couldn't say what I said the other day about Bill. There's some folks here today who, some people don't know whether they're saved or lost. Maybe their wives or their children. And if I asked them, Lord, they'd say, I don't know whether you're saved or not. I don't know. Father, I know, dear Lord, that if people don't know, then those people are probably lost. I pray today for those that are lost, those who need you as Savior. During this invitation, Lord, move by your Holy Spirit. I pray that as we sing and as we think about you, that every lost person in this room will be saved. It's possible. You did all that's necessary, all that was needed. You've done it all. And you're calling them to yourself. Now, Father, we pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.